At Genesis, we help successful chiropractors implement spinal decompression with a fully turnkey system that handles everything from marketing and new patient generation to systems, protocols, and ongoing support. The result? Massive value for your practice and life-changing outcomes for your patients, all without drugs or surgery. This is the next evolution in chiropractic care. Welcome to Genesis.
You and I say it all the time. It's like 33% of the benefit's going to come from what you do in the pre-work.
Yeah.
33% of the benefit's going to come during the work. And 33% of the benefit is going to come for what you do after the work, BDA. Guys, ask yourself, oh my gosh, how many shifts do I go into without doing BDA?
Hello and welcome to the Remarkable CEO Podcast, a show dedicated to chiropractors who want to transform their job into a business so that they can have a remarkable practice as part of a remarkable life, not instead of one. With your hosts, Dr. Pete Camiolo and Dr. Stephen Franson.
What's up, Remarkables? Welcome to another episode of the Remarkable CEO Podcast, chiropractic's number one business podcast. I'm Dr. Stephen Franson.
And I'm Dr. Pete Camiolo.
Hey, and we are coming in hot as always, but maybe hotter than usual because we're rolling fresh out of our quarterly board meeting. Dr. Pete, I know you're like me. You're a big sports guy. And man, I just love the after game interviews. Right? So I know you're a musician. Nothing like seeing the cameras follow the band backstage in the green room and get the aftermath, the after story. So everybody here has the opportunity to listen to us as we roll fresh out of a two-day quarterly pulse meeting or our quarterly board meeting with our fantastic leadership team. My gosh, man, we come out of it, you know, sweaty, battered, bruised, bloody, whatever it takes to figure out what is the best path forward so we can just help more people, help more people. So always an honor to be doing battle with you, my friend. Sometimes those board meetings feel more like a bar fight than ballet, but you know what? We came out of there with some clarity, and that's what it's all about.
You know, it's interesting. So this is a little history. So historically, we've always, at least I think, had our podcast recording, if we do it with around a quarterly, before the session on Friday. This is like the first time we've done it after the Friday session. So this is cool. So this is a first. And what we're coming in with is not just like, because our quarterly board meetings, historically, we break up into 2 days for a variety of reasons. And it actually works really well for our company, is now we're coming from the back end. And so, you know, thinking about the locker room example, we haven't even showered up yet.
Like, yeah, literally.
We still stink, you know, it's like, so the good news is, you know, we're coming in hot, a little bit stinky potentially, but you're going to get the real raw kind of feeling. And we just did that. We actually did a little debrief knowing we were going to be recording afterwards. And we just naturally were talking about how the quarterly went for you and for, you know, because a lot happens in that meeting and you're staying in state and focused and productive mode. So now it's time to debrief. So we're going to do a little bit of that with you. And Dr. Stephen, where I wanted to start, which was one of your big takeaways. I had a few big takeaways, but one of them that you had, and I share it, was our BDA process and how important that is. So you all know, because you've been listening to this podcast, or if you have been, if not, welcome to the show. Glad you're joining us. We teach a framework. We have lots of them. One of them is BDA, before, during, after. And we've embraced this wholeheartedly as an organization in all parts. So when you're looking at your five domains, 15 primary functions, you should apply this. So we applied it to this meeting structure, this very important quarterly pulse, this quarterly board meeting rhythm. Inside of the chiropractic operating system, you have this rhythm, the BDA process. So we've just started the A part. We are literally right before this podcast recording.
And yeah, we're recording it.
We are recording the A, right? Yeah. So it's the after you. So remember, in the APPEAR process, it's APPEAR. A is assess. So the B in the before the quarterly is an A. It's the A. It's the assess. And what we've done as a company to optimize, right? To optimize the experience of the quarterly, to get 10 pounds into a 5-pound bag, as we've emphasized the importance of the B for all the leadership team. so that we can come into that meeting and be more productive and actually spend more time working on the business and addressing the things that really matter and connecting than just doing A. And we've learned that over the years, Dr. Steven. This isn't just we figured it out. It's been time and repetition of doing it that we've learned the importance of that. So I just want to emphasize how important the B part was for all of us.
That's right.
And for me going into this, taking the time, really some hours went into that and some meetings before, so that when we showed up D during the last 2 days, we were able to be, well, I feel like more focused and more productive and effective. And now the A, which is what we're doing now and over these next 10 to 14 days, is going to be, you know, just making sure all the ducks are in a row and we're executing on the plan, prepare, execute, right? So PPA, E, you know, this is plan, prepare, execute. So we're preparing and then executing on the plan that we've just developed. So that's what we're doing.
It's fun that you went right to BDA because it was exactly going to be my next sentence, right? So before, during, and after, this framework is super helpful. And it's not just, I want to make sure you're hearing them right, is it's not just for this initiative, it's for everything, right? So yeah. My son Sam's home for the summer. Sam's really gotten into fitness and working out, which of course I'm psyched about. You know, my kids have grown up in a home where mom and dad work out. It's just part of our family culture, but it's, you know, they go off to college like, man, I hope they embrace that, right? So he's going to church, he's working out, he's getting good grades, and he's got a beautiful, nice girlfriend. So it's like ticking all the boxes, right? So he's into working out now and lifting weights. And he, of course, he wants to pack on the muscle, right? So talking about gains in my house. So I had the BDA conversation with him, and I was just talking about, like, because he was asking me some questions about supplementation. He's really getting into it, and he's trying to figure out timing, et cetera. And we were talking about, well, BDA with your workouts, you know, before your workouts, during your workouts, after your workouts. And I was talking about supplementation. I'm like, hey, before your workouts, if you're looking to build muscle, lean tissue, you want to make sure that you get some kind of protein, you know, preferably a super high quality protein. And I think whey protein is probably the solution for pre-workout nutrition to get that really bioavailable whey protein just around your workouts. I think your body can handle that. Then during the workout, you have some type of glucose foods, right? So once you get your heart rate up, you break a sweat, and you've got a pump on, that's when you want to start feeding your body some kind of glucose. So fruits, right? So slice up apples, slice up oranges, right? So teaching him how to eat during his workout, just lightly. And what you'll find is your pump is unbelievable. Your energies and strength is unbelievable. You'll never hit the wall. And then after the workout, wait 30 minutes. So you go from sympathetic to parasympathetic, and you're ready for, you know, rest, repair, digestion, right? So, and that's when your body's going to want more protein and replace some of your glycogen. So BDA, Dr. Pete, it's like, why do you do BDA? So you can optimize all of the hard part of the workout, right? So it's like, if you just do the things you should be doing beforehand and afterwards, you're going to reap all of the benefits and all of the rewards. So you and I say it all the time. It's like 33% of the benefit's going to come from what you do in the pre-work.
Yeah.
33% of the benefit is going to come during the work, and 33% of the benefit is going to come for what you do after the work. BDA. Guys, ask yourself, oh my gosh, how many shifts do I go into without doing BDA? How many workshops do I teach without outside talks, right? So how many webinars do I do? How many report of findings do I deliver, or team meetings or team trainings? BDA, think about all the initiatives of your life. I love this framework because it gives a common language for everybody to say, okay, so before we get into this board meeting, here's the before work we want everybody to do. And it's an assignment, and you set expectations and you give them clarity around exactly how we want them to show up based on what we're trying to accomplish during the meeting, right? So during the board meeting, this is what we're going to cover. For the next 2 days, this is how we're going to do it. This is the structure. This is the system. And it's all going to take us towards these very clear objectives. So everybody understands going ahead. That's all done beforehand. Then during is execution, following the system, not making it up as you go and just following the process, aware of where are we trying to go and what's the purpose of this board meeting, to create clarity around how we're going to achieve our goals very specifically in the next 90 days. And then of course the after, right? So here we are, guys. You guys are fried. You guys hear it right now. Hear this energy. This is the after. We're coming rolling right off the field. We're in the locker room right now being like, okay, so now it's time for us to process, right? It's time for us to gather all that information, make sure everybody's super clear on exactly what we're going to do together, what the activities are, do what, by whom, by when, codify our action steps, and take ownership and know who's accountable to achieve our goals. Dr. Pete, BDA, I don't know about you, but I want 100% of the juice for the squeeze, because this is wicked hard. I want to do the before, I want to do the during, and I want to do the after. Hey doc, Stephen Franson here. If you're like me, you know that we're in the business of saving lives. And when business is good, everybody wins. That's the good news. But here's the bad news. Most chiropractors don't own a business at all. They own a job. It's a job they love, but it's a job. And far too often, it feels like that job owns them. Is this true for you? Do you own a business or a job? Have you built and do you run your practice on brute force? Does it rely fully on your time, your effort, a pound of your flesh? Are you responsible for all growth, for all new patient generation? How about new patient conversions? Is it all up to you? How about patient care and delivery? Are you a sole practitioner, an owner-operator who owns the practice, but is also the only one that is head down and bum up taking care of all the patients? Is revenue generation or collections all up to you? Let me ask you the most telling question. Doc, what would happen if you took 90 days off? What breaks? In my experience, most on-purpose chiropractors do not lay awake at night worrying about their practice. They worry about their business. Let's slay that dragon. The Remarkable CEO program has helped hundreds of chiropractors just like you turn the job that they love into the business that they've always wanted. Are you ready to run and build your practice on leverage instead of brute force? Do you want to create the scalability and durability that will allow you to make a bigger impact and a bigger income? What would it mean to grow your practice, increase your productivity, and your profitability? Do you want to get your time freedom back? Are you ready to turn your pirate ship into a battleship? If this sounds like you, then the Remarkable CEO program is for you. Just last year, 53 of our remarkable clients received the seven-figure club award, meaning they hit the million-dollar mark for the first time or their next million-dollar level, be it 2 million, 3 million, 10 million, up to 36 million and growing. Now, doc, is it crazy to imagine that your practice could be next? Click the link below and learn how to apply for the next cohort of the Remarkable CEO program. We look forward to working closely with you in creating the business that supports your remarkable life, not competes with it.
So, you know, we talk about working in the business, working on the business, working above the business. We talk about the three frames. We talk about the difference between owner, operator, and CEO. It's a perspective shift. It's an identity shift and a behavioral shift. The working on the business is what I wanted to emphasize right now. When you're doing when you're following the BDA process, when you are executing a quarterly board meeting, when you're inviting your leadership team into this and you're taking time away from, let's say, seeing patients or even just the office being closed or maybe marketing or doing something else you might do, and you're prioritizing this meeting, recognize this, that this is the work, the invisible work that must get done in order for you to turn your job into a business and to build this practice to be scalable and durable and transferable. Like, this is the work. This is working on the business. It's even a little bit above the business, but for sure it's working on the business. And that is the power of this meeting rhythm. And so if some of you haven't fully embraced this, if you're listening to this podcast for the first time, or you've been listening to it for a while and you haven't embraced the quarterly board meetings, maybe because you just don't have, maybe your excuse or reason is, hey, I just don't have an A player team. It's just me and maybe one person. Is it really worth it? Or maybe you just got such a full life and schedule. And it's like, man, it's just hard for me to find the time. So it's just like, it's just too much.
I'm too busy.
Yeah. Or, you know, fill in the blank with the thing. I'm going to encourage you. If you didn't do it this quarter, you still have a chance to do it, number one. Number two, I want to encourage you to get it on the schedule for the end of the third quarter going into the fourth quarter. Block a day, a minimum of half a day, so that you and your team can get together uninterrupted. Don't try to jam it in an hour. It's not going to happen. And get some time together to work on your business together, not you alone, you with your key players. You know, your team might not be as big as our team, but the right people should be in that room. And most chiropractors, it's their team, your whole team. If you have a larger enterprise, it's going to be probably a smaller group of the leadership team, but it's just the right people that are going to be there. And remember, this is the working on the business work. This is the work that must get done. This is the work of the CEO, the COO. This is the work. It's one of the most important moments of your entire year is wrapped up in this 1 to 2 day process in this moment. And, you know, the power for us is you know, at the end of the meeting, Doc, I love how we have a facilitator who helps us organize the meetings, stay on track. Our business coach. You got to know yourself to lead yourself. So you got to get help. So we have our business coach.
100%.
And he always asks, he does a lot of different things. But one of the things we do at the end, and I like it, is one to two takeaways. And how do you, and what one word summarize how you feel. I wanted to ask you what yours were, and I can do mine. I can go first. So in my one to two takeaways, number one was the power of one of the exercises we did. We did a radical thinking exercise where we allowed ourselves to brainstorm as a company. And I got a ton of energy out of it. And I felt like it was something that we needed as an organization. We needed that. We needed some time to just whiteboard, basically, and just throw ideas on the wall. We followed a very specific framework and model to do it in a healthy way. And I thought it was really, really good for us, Dr. Steven. Yeah. I was energized by it. I believe you were. I believe everybody was. And it was a highlight for us all. And I think it helped us in the mid-year to do a little bit of a mid-year reset and kind of recalibrate where we're at in terms of where we want to go with achieving our vision and our goals. And then my second big takeaway was actually just our openness to be willing to do things different. We talk about optimizing, and optimizing oftentimes requires doing things different. We talked about in other episodes, the rules of ones and threes and breakpoints, et cetera. So in any business, you're going to realize there's these things that are going to happen that if you aren't willing to look at it or do things differently, you might end up continuing to hit your head against what almost feels like a glass ceiling. And so we were able to, as an entire organization, embrace the idea that it was possible for us to do things different, which means we can optimize the things that we're doing, do things different. And our whole group was aligned and willing to do that, which is awesome because we have a group of strong leaders inside of our organization who have opinions and ways they like to do things. So that was big. And then how I felt at the end was energized. And hopefully you as a listener can feel my energy, because energy is transferred in a variety of ways, but hopefully you can feel our energy. But my energy, I'm energized. You know, I'm energizing coming out of the meeting, and not all the emotions were all positive coming out of it from our whole team, but I'm energized even by that, because any frustration or challenge that someone's feeling isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's the thing, and we're going to use it. Like, we go through that to get to the other side, and the other side is breakthrough. So I'm confident, you know, that we're going to have an awesome third quarter and second half of the year. So what about you, Doc?
100%. I love the creative thought process, right? So that creative thought exercise around, hey, just let go of all the limiting beliefs you have and let go of all the constraints of the business right now. And, you know, all the things you're telling yourself about, well, we've never done it that way, or we always do it this way, right? So it's like, hey, there's no rules right now. Let's have some fun. Let's stir the pot, right? So it's like, how would you do this, right? So, you know, what would need to be true for this? What would that look like? Imagine if we would do this, right? So, and it was fun to listen to how the different directions that people took it in, right? And get that creative energy going, stirring the pot at sort of the beginning process of, or the beginner, more in the first half of the meeting, to stimulate that creative energy in your mind to be able to say, see, I want to take that creative energy into problem solving now inside of an organization that has constraints, right? So that we do have realities, current realities, but man, it was the plasticity of stretching the team and being able to say, let's go out here a little bit. Let's get a little crazy. What if we were to do that? All of a sudden it was like, well, after you said that, this idea here doesn't sound so crazy. It's like, it was actually easier to you know, eat the frogs that we had to eat, right, to be able to achieve our goals this quarter. So yeah, I left my word was determined. You know, I loved just seeing our team, like, they're just so committed, they're so on purpose, so servant hearted, just seeing our core values just being walked out and lived out by our team in the midst of that, you know, 2-day full on bar fight, right, solving problems. So I want to double click on something you said there around, you know, when you're working on the business here, and it feels and sounds cliche, you know, everybody knows Michael Gerber's work, but don't make the mistake of just sort of dismissing when you hear something that's familiar, right? So understand the power in this, right? So there is working in the business, and then there's working on the business. And then we teach you the third ascension of working above the business, right? So these are the identity shifts that happen inside of the Remarkable CEO program, right? So it's an ascension. Right. And it's an identity shift first. Right. So first, you've got to change your identity, which is, you know, your belief systems that will organize the behaviors, and those different behaviors will produce different outcomes. Right. So you can't get different outcomes with the same behaviors. Right. So that ascension that we teach is to go from working in the business to working on the business to working above the business. but we're not telling you that any of those levels are bad. You know, inherently, it's only bad if you don't know that there's three levels. It's only bad if you don't know what level you should be in, what's appropriate at any point in time. Like, what is your identity? What identity of you does this call for you right now? Like, you know, right now we're working in the business, right, Dr. Pete? This is one of our jobs, right? Inside of a business that we own, right? So a business that we lead. And by the way, this is a job that we have inside. Producing the Remarkable CEO podcast is one of our responsibilities. This is us working in the business. Well, we just came from working on the business, right? So 15 minutes ago in this board meeting, you're working on the business. Listen to this metaphor. You go from being the machine to being the person that builds the machine. That's when you go from working in the business to working on the business. I think that's a beautiful way to think about it, right? Because what did we just do? We just spent 2 days building the machine, right? So you go from being the machine. Right now, we are the machine, right? So the two of us stop talking. Guess what? No podcast. So right now, we are the machine, right? So we go from being the machine to making the ascension to the leadership team, CEO and president, and being like, okay, so we build the machine. Okay, that's our job. We build the machine. And then the next ascension is going from CEO to investor, which is where you'll be the person that'll be selling the machine, right? So that's when you have an ownership perspective over the business, right? So you go from being the machine to building a machine to being the person that one day sells the machine, right? So right now we're talking about this board meeting conversation where you are building the machine, right? So, and when we talk about building the machine, what's cool about our business, a coaching business, we use the exact same metrics as we used in our chiropractic practices, right? So it's, you know, instead of talking about total active patients, TAP, we talk about total active clients, TAC. Sound familiar, right? So, and of course, we talk about conversions, new client conversions instead of new patient conversions. We talk about reactivations of previously active clients, right? PACs instead of PAPs, previously active patients, right? We talk about discontinuances or inactives or churn rate, right? And we talk about net momentum. So guess what? The framework for this board meeting is, well, what matters in our business? Impact. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what does that mean? That means more chiropractors adjusting more people following the TRP system. It means helping more people help more people. That's what this means. Okay, well, what number measures that impact? Well, total active patients does. Okay, so, all right, well, how do we influence total active patients? Well, two ways. We take our existing clients and we help them see more people and we attract more clients. So we are seeing indirectly through those clients more people, right? So you guys hear what I'm saying here. It's all about net mo for us, just like it is for you, doctor. Hmm. Just like it is for you in your clinic. It's all about net mo, net momentum, the number of human beings that God's trusting you with. How many people are you taking care of that are active patients? And the equation's simple. It's new client conversions or new patient conversions plus reactivation of previously active clients or patients minus those that go inactive equals net mo. Those that are joining the practice, new ones and reactivations, minus those that are leaving the practice equals net momentum. So Dr. Pete, it creates this perfect framework for us to get everybody on the team focused. Hmm. Okay. I want to sit on that word for a second. Your job, guys, as the visionary, as the CEO, is to show up and make sure you take this very busy team that's probably inebriated with busyness. They are probably scattered. They're probably sweating. They're probably thinking they're overwhelmed. And now you're getting them in the room. It's like, how do we grow? Let's do more. And they're like, more? The last thing I want is more of this, right? So you've got to make sure that you are casting the vision, making sure that everything in growth is tied to impact and the purpose. Remind everybody about the mission, what we're doing. You got to get their heart right, because this is very much a head exercise when you start getting into board meetings, right? So don't skip the heart, head, hands, feet. You got to get their heart right, because now your job is to get their head right. And Dr. Pete, their head right means let's get them focused on how can we increase new conversions? How can we increase reactivations? How can we decrease inactives? And how can we ultimately net build our net momentum?
Please stick around for more business insights from this week's bonus interview with our remarkable success partner dedicated to helping you more successfully help more people. Enjoy. Hey guys, Dr. Pete Camiolo here. Today I'm in the studio with Glenn David. You might have heard of him before. If you haven't heard of him, you might have heard of his company, Davlin Design. They've been around the chiropractic space for a long time. And I had the honor of meeting him and speaking with him before they actually joined us as a success partner, got to know him, his heart and got to find out some of the people who he's helped over the years. And I said, hey, I know these people. You've helped some of the movers and shakers in chiropractic for a long time. You've been in the game. And but many people might not know you and they might not know your story. So Davlin is a success partner, which is, you guys know, if you're listening to our show, if you've listened in the past, you know that a success partner is somebody who's invested in your success. And they have chosen to invest inside of the Remarkable Practice to help more chiropractors, help more people. So these are people that share our core values. Davlin is a company that shares the same values we have in Remarkable Practice. And they're on the mission with us to help you help more people. So it is an honor for me to have you today on the show and to be a part of our podcast. Glenn, thanks for taking the time to meet with me.
Oh, it's always my honor. Always my honor, Pete. Thank you.
You're very welcome. So our audience may not know who you are. They may not know a lot about your company. Let's just say they don't. So take us through a little bit of a down memory lane. Bring us up to speed. Tell us a little bit about your story, about your company, its genesis, and then what it's evolved to, where you guys are at now. I'd love to help our audience understand who I'm talking to because you are the expert in the space.
Oh, thank you. To start off, we are, yes, we have been around a long time, and we still are the best kept secret in the chiropractic profession. And hopefully this will change some of that as well. We have been designing chiropractic specific offices and manufacturing a very specialized line of chiropractic furnishing systems for quite some time. It's a family owned and operated company. My wife, Jean, and I started Davlin in the early 80s. When she was actually a CA. And we're blessed the fact that two of our children are Davlin's next generation. So while I'm starting to get a little gray up here, luckily the kids are deeply involved and very excited about it. Christina's the head of sales and design, and Nick is our production manager. He's been designing, building, and delivering all of the solutions that we've created for almost 20 years now. And Nick's wife, Frankie, is our logistics expert. So it's a big, happy family event. We have two primary fields. One is our chiropractic facility design consultation services, which is a mouthful, but very unique. And the other is our chiropractic specific workstations. Now we have a specialized design and manufacturing facility here in Central North Carolina. We started up in New York and we moved to North Carolina to expedite a little more centralized located. And we build things like chiropractic front desks, electronic health records units, portable T-bars, modular walls, hospitality stations, and reporter finding stations. And they're built all here exclusively for chiropractic. In other words, 99% of what we do is chiro-oriented, and we don't build kitchen cabinets. So it's very specific to that. Started back in 1987 when my wife went to work for a chiropractor on Long Island. And they were working in a 450-square-foot office attached to the side of the doctor's house. So picture that, a 2.5-car garage, seeing over 300 patients a week. Now, it's a straight chiropractic office. They did very few modalities, but it was still a pressure cooker, to say the least. My wife would go to work extremely excited in the morning, come back totally exhausted at night. And I didn't understand anything because I knew nothing about chiropractic, which was a blessing in disguise, because she would go happy, come back miserable, and I wanted to figure out what can I do to help her job. Well, I was in residential and commercial construction, so I decided, let me see what she does. So I walked in the office with big eyes and big ears, and I watched what she was doing, and I watched and listened to what she needed to do. And I figured out maybe I could build her a really cool front desk and put everything at her fingertips to make her job easier. And that's how we started. And that was 37 years ago, and that doctor had a bunch of chiropractic friends, and they saw our work, and they hired us, and their friends saw our work, and they hired us, and here we are, over 6,500 chiropractors that we've served over the years. Wow. So that's our starting point.
I mean, that number, and when you shared that with me, I thought, I don't know if there's many other businesses inside a chiropractic space that have served 6,500 different chiropractic clinics. I mean, chiropractic offices. I mean, that's a significant number of people that you guys have been able to serve and impact. Just think about that as you're listening to this. That's a lot of experience over the last three decades plus. And I wanted to maybe, from a problem solving perspective, one of the questions that I have for you is that, you know, every business exists to solve problems, right? And you want to solve a problem for somebody else. That's what makes your business, which yours was initially, I'm going to solve my wife's problem, right? It turned into people, there's others that have this same problem. So if you're talking to me as a chiropractor listening right now in 2025, and we're interviewing, you've been doing this since in the late 1980s. So how would you describe the problem or problems that you're solving? And talk to me a little bit about how the problem that you solve, what it's producing on the other side. So really combining, you know, maybe two different questions, but, you know, here are the problems that we come in and we see. And then as a result of us fixing these problems, what are the outcomes? What are the results that we're getting on the other side?
Great question. You know, I talk about 37 years and 6,500 doctors that we've served, not to impress anyone, just to impress upon you that this is our profession. You know, when doctors talk to me, they talk to me like a chiropractor. Many times they ask me if I am a chiropractor, and that's very rewarding. It means I'm on purpose. What we found over the years, here are some of the basic problems. 87% of the chiropractors that we've went into severely underutilized their square footage. So it means they're paying for more than they really need. 73% have staff working in beautiful environments. There's some gorgeous work out there, but they function terribly. And 95% of the clients that we deal with can reduce the amount of time that a patient spends in their office by making small changes to their office. So if with all of those issues, we've listened to a lot of experts in the field and come up with a lot of different solutions to create that. Let me give you an example. I was listening to your last podcast with Dr. Steve, and he talked about operationalize, professionalize, and optimize. And you know, we understand the philosophy of creating systems to run a practice. People run the system, use the least expensive qualified for that system, and your patients will receive the same consistent and predictable results. Mm-hmm. Well, we create the workplace to simplify that job. It's kind of like someone wants to race the Indy 500 of chiropractic, but they're driving a Volkswagen. Now, nothing wrong with that. You can get around the track. You just can't play at a higher level that you want. So we can either provide the Corvette, the Ferrari, or the Indy race car, depending on what the doctor's needs are. Make sense?
Makes a ton of sense. So I want to kind of go into all three of the points you made. One of them was the, you know, underutilizing the environment. The workspace. You talked about that being a significant percent in the upper 80s. You talked about, you know, beautiful but not functional. You talked about time, also flow and the time issues. All three of those, in my mind as a coach, I'm like, yeah, all that's going to cost you money. It's gonna reduce your ability to make a bigger impact. It's not optimized, right? It's harder to scale. It's not as durable, and you're putting the lid on your company's growth. So you're talking about it through the lens of physical space, whereas I might come at it as a coach from a slightly different perspective. So talk about that, because you guys analyze it through the way that a business is set up in the physical structure, but you're actually creating through adjustments that are being made an increase in the ability to drive more revenue, create a bigger impact, create a better experience for both the providers, the staff, and the patients. So I don't know if you want to hit on one of those three, but I always love the functional conversation because, you know, as a chiropractor, we're always about structure and function. And, you know, so where you want to go with that, I'd love to just hear you maybe unpack some things from all those experiences that you have had and you're continuing to have to this day.
Well, key factor is simplicity, speed, and efficiency. There's no rocket science here. It's once you understand what should be done, what the task at hand is, if you start with a clean sheet of paper, you just create the best workplace because it doesn't cost more to do it right. But let's put this in perspective, Dr. Pete. Something that your members and any of the listeners can relate to. How does a doctor grow their volume? I speak to so many doctors, and one of the big questions I have is, what's your goal? And they say, I'd like to double my practice. Well, that sounds kind of scary. Now, you give them the tools to do that. But a lot of doctors can't wrap their head around, how do I double my practice? So watch this. Very simple number-wise. And this formula works anywhere. And it's not a special formula I worked up. It's like compounded interest. So watch what happens. Let's pick a mediocre practice or a moderate practice at 160 visits a week. Okay. Let's just use the statistics of 20 new patients a month, patient visit average of 35, and fee per adjustment of $40. Okay. So I went conservative on a lot of those numbers. I call it the 1% practice explosion, because if you take each of those three statistics and increase it by 1% per month, tiny little change over a month. So if it's new patients per month, 20, next month will be 20.2, then 20.4, then 20.6, then 20.8, and eventually you get to 21. And you do that for 28 months. Eventually, after 28 months, it's 26.4 new patients per month. It's not terrible. 2 years to grow six patients additional, you're not trying very hard. Patient visit average. Okay, how do you increase patient visit average? Education, knowledge, experience in what chiropractic really has to offer. Let's start with a PVA of 35. After 28 months, that's 46. Well, heck, I've been adjusted, you know, for the last 30 plus years. My kids have all been adjusted since they were born. Their progressive PVA is hundreds, if not thousands. Right. Let's go to fee per adjustment. Fee per adjustment at $40, if we did increase that by 1% per month, now you're not going to tell the patients, oh, next month it's $40.40, but the perceived value of your care. I have to backtrack a little bit. Chiropractic saved my first son's life. I'll get into that story. Maybe one day I could kind of get up and tell doctors how important what they do really is, because it saved my son's life. What's chiropractic worth to me? Whatever you want to charge. Just don't tell my chiropractor, because I pay cash. But $40 a visit after 28 months is $52.85. So what that does is it takes a practice at the original numbers of $336,900, give or take a few, and it grows the practice $777,192, more than doubles the revenue stream just by 1% increases to each statistic. So it's not that difficult. You just have to focus on increasing and making things a little bit better. Well, that's what we try and do. Unlike other designers or interior decorators, their goal is to make it look really impressive and pretty. It's important. But a lot of people spend a lot of money on something that functions terribly. Well, we're going to sit there and figure out a workplace that supports and enhances everything that a staff does. Put what your CA needs at her fingertips so that there's truly efficiency and allows you to pack 21 pounds of chiropractic into a 5-pound office. And then after all of that's done, then we make it look great.
I love that you went down that path and gave us a bit of a exercise to do. And you think about what's able to happen in 28 months if you make these small incremental changes of just 1%. It's powerful, powerful exercise. And it's really important for everyone who's listening to actually do things like that. I think it's important that you connected that to also what you do. So if I hire, let's say I have it. So there's a couple of different scenarios that somebody's listening. I'm listening to this interview today and I have an office. Maybe I have multiple offices. I think it's functioning pretty well. What would you say to me if I'm listening to the other end? Okay, that's one. And the other person that might be listening is like, hey, I'm looking at opening a new office, or I'm looking at opening my first office, whatever. Maybe speak to me too. But let's speak to the first person first, which is I have a clinic. I've been functioning. Maybe my space is not optimized. What do you say to me? Like, what can you do for me if I've already built my office, I'm already established, I'm already in? Is there anything that you guys can do to help me potentially increase my flow or improve my experience for my CAs, enhancing and supporting them with the work and the important work they're doing? What do you do for an established practitioner who already has a clinic or clinics?
Well, we kind of do an efficiency audit to their clinic. And during our webinar, we ask them to send some photographs and some drawings, no matter how crude they are. And we take a look at the office and see just what the operating efficiency really is. And can they fit more? Case in point, one of your members here in North Carolina owned a 1200 square foot brick and mortar building, freestanding. And it was literally brick and mortar. So you couldn't add on to the side of the building. Well, he had one primary adjusting room, one secondary adjusting room, two modality bays, and he had two front doors. Front door in the front of the building had parking, and the door in the back of the building had parking. And he was using both front and back doors, so people were entering and exiting from the middle of the clinic. we analyzed it, and with some demolition work and some modular furnishing systems, we were able to give him 4 primary adjusting rooms, 5 modality bays. We created a separate consultation and report of findings room. So he was able to more than double his services and revenue stream. And that allowed him to bring in the associate that he wanted to. And he was able to do that without closing the office. He cluster booked a little bit. The contractor worked over the weekend. So the contractor knocked a couple walls down. Guys came in and redid the floor, repainted it. We came in with the modular furnishings, and he's up and running into it. It took the pressure cooker off of his office, and it allowed him to grow to whatever level he wants to.
Hmm. Powerful. So you'll meet a doctor right there at that moment. I'm in a brick and mortar. I have this space. I'm locked into this space. And you can take that and transform that space. That's beautiful. Whether you're listening right now, you're like, hey, that's me. I'm trying to bring on an associate. And I don't know if I'm optimized for that. Or, hey, I just like to bring in some more modalities. Or maybe I'm looking to expand my offerings and grow, but I'm in a lease or I own my building and I'm not really ready to change or move any of those things along. You can come in and in a very efficiently transform that space into something that's optimized, which is one of our keys that we talk about in A Remarkable Business. Is you reach these, what we call breakpoints. Mm-hmm. We call it the rule of 1 and 3, and you reach these breakpoints. And what you're talking about is, yeah, I can come in and hit a breakpoint and I can transform that and you can exponentially increase. So that's one group. Talk to me a little bit about the group that's, hey, I'm going to go out and open another clinic or open my first clinic. How do you support doctors who are doing that?
First place, we take a look. Once we do our consultation, we listen to the end result, not what they think they can get, because a doctor might be seeing 100 visits a week and he doesn't think he could see any more than 150 a week because he wants to spend more time with the family. But deep in his heart, he knows the community needs 300 or 400 patients a week coming through his doors. Well, if you take the preconceived notions out of the way, and because he doesn't want to spend more time doesn't mean he can't see more patients. So if you're at the end of your lease and you're looking for a different space, we listen to the end result. Then we tap back into our past experience. And that's where 6,500 other mistakes that other people have made before they came to us tap in here. And we can then guide them into how many square feet they should look for. Now, square footage isn't the key. Because let's say 2,000 square feet could be 10 feet wide and 200 feet deep, and that's terrible. It could be 40 feet wide and 50 feet deep, and that's terrible too. But depending on their treatment technique, there's a certain geometry that we've realized that allows me to pack that 21 pounds of chiropractic into a 5-pound office. So they would go out and start to search for different locations. And then let's say they picked 10 locations, narrowed it down to 3. We then take a look at those 3 and guide them and tell them, here's what to look for in this number 1 space. Number 2 space is perfect to negotiate really strong on that. Number 3 space, don't even bother because it's going to cost you a fortune to build out. There's inherent problems. And I do that by looking at photographs and sketches. And it helps narrow it down so it gives them something to negotiate on. Because like negotiating TI, tenant improvement allowance, it's just a game unless you have ammunition. So if someone said, well, the landlord offers $15 a square foot in TI, and I go in and say, no, we want $40 a square foot in TI, but here's why. Your HVAC needs to be totally replaced because you could look at the ducts, because I just looked at them. They're all cobwebbed, infested. Your bathroom doesn't meet code, and that's $15,000 right there. It's not wheelchair accessible, and on. So I'm feeding them information. And that's all part of our services. You don't pay extra for that. It's part of it. Or we have the other extreme. Maybe someone's happy where they are, but their front desk works really inefficiently. And the girls are pulling their hair out. Or they say, hey, Glenn, we need to hire a second CA for the front desk. But I find out they're only seeing 100 visits a week. Well, one CA can process 300 or 400 patients a week before you need a second one if they're done efficiently. So what's the value of saving a little bit of time? That's another thing. Here's a little statistic, a fun fact that I've come up with, and you can see I'm a number cruncher. If someone wastes 30 seconds here and there throughout the day, it doesn't sound like much. 30 seconds here, a minute there, 30 seconds here, a minute there. It could easily add to 30 minutes a day. So let's just randomly say 30 minutes a day. It's 150 minutes a week, 650 minutes a month, 7,800 minutes a year. That's 18 and a half days per year that if you could be more efficient and not waste that time or let your patients waste your time, from a doctor's perspective, 18 and a half days per year, how much more can he spend adjusting patients? Okay. How many more hours can he spend learning? He can go to more TRP conferences and learn how to grow the practice better or be more efficient. How much more family time could he have? Or a front desk CA. If you now knew that your front desk CA, let's go conservatively, cut that number in half, had 9 days per year, uninterrupted, how many new patients can she get you? One, 9.5 days. Two, can she get you one a week? Can she get you one a month? She better be able to. So you can invest a little bit of money into a new chiropractic front desk, put everything at her fingertips. Now she has all this free time, or you don't have to hire the second CA, because you know what happens when you hire a second CA and the two are working side by side. You don't get twice as much work. You're lucky if you get the same amount, maybe a little bit more, because there's an overlap. So that's another way that we can help them tremendously. Or report a findings room. I mean, report a findings room. Maybe you're not getting the conversions you want because there's all kinds of distractions. And that's key. So many doctors don't realize that you could deliver the best report of findings in the world, but if there are distractions, the patient doesn't remember any of it when they leave. The key to a report of findings is not what you say. It's what they remember when they walk out your door. And that's where we can help you as well.
I love this conversation, and I know everyone who's listening to you right now is enjoying hearing your wisdom and from all the experience you've had. You've looked in a lot of chiropractors' eyes. You've talked to a lot of chiros, and you've dealt with a lot of problems, and that just makes you a tremendous resource. We're thrilled to have you as part of a Resources for Remarkable Practice, and obviously for our podcast listeners. So if someone's listening and they want to get in contact with you or learn more about what you guys are doing, which you've shared quite a bit already, or take a next step with you, what's the what direction can you give our audience here today?
Well, certainly do the research on our website, davlindesign.com. And the initial consultation, we will gladly get on the phone with you. And we have some homework we'd like you to do so I can make it as productive as possible, because every doctor I speak to is different than the other doctor I spoke to. So we'd want to know what makes you unique, what your teachings are. For TRP members, that audit that we had kind of discussed, we can roll that out and actually analyze their space for them to let them know how much capacity they really have and whether or not they need to nuke the place or do a slight change or it's time to move. And, you know, I think we can roll that out with you hopefully before the next conference. And certainly, if you're at TRP in Orlando, we're all excited about it. I'll be there. Christina will be there. My family will be there. So we'd love to meet with you and talk and show you what we can do, because our webinars are quite extensive.
I have personally witnessed multiple doctors, even in this current year, who've been very pleased and thankful for their time with you and the way you've supported them. So coming from me directly, who's working directly with doctors who you've had the opportunity to meet with and serve, the value you provide on your webinar, and then even those who have decided that they're ready to move forward and take a next step with you, has just been awesome. So thank you for the work that you're doing. Thanks for taking the time to meet with me here today and be a part of this podcast. And for all of you who are listening, thanks for tuning in. This has been Dr. Pete Camiola with Glenn David from Davlin Design. And remember to tune in next week for the next episode of the podcast. Until then, God bless you all. Take care and have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, everyone. Be well.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Remarkable CEO Podcast. Remember, what the world needs now is chiropractic, and what chiropractic needs now is more successful chiropractors. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a review. And if you'd like to connect with us personally, direct message us on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram. Now go and be remarkable.